This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
The update on the breaking news out of Turkey. The Russian ambassador to Turkey has died after having been shot today at an art exhibit. NBC News chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel in Istanbul again. Richard, this is just terrible news in every level. Fill us in with what you know.
Well, a lot more detail since we last spoke just a few minutes ago. The Russian Foreign Ministry saying that the Moscow's ambassador to Turkey, Andrei Karlov, has died. Video has emerged from the scene. He was speaking at a podium at an art exhibit. He was a few minutes into his remarks when a young man, cleanly shaven in a suit and tie, who was standing behind him, behind where he was speaking in front of an audience, pulled out his pistol and opened fire on the ambassador. Then he began to shout, first in Arabic and then transitioning to Turkish. He said, Allahu Akbar. He said that he is a jihadi who's taken a pledge of allegiance to Muhammad. Then transitioning into Turkish, he said, don't forget Aleppo. Don't forget Syria. You will not taste security if our brothers and sisters do not have it. Everyone who participated in the all those will pay heavily who helped create the cruelty in Syria. So the gunman clearly trying to link this shooting to Russia's involvement in the bombing campaign of Syria and the fall of Aleppo, which just happened a few days ago. There are numerous reports in this country that the gunman was a young man, 22 years old, a Turkish national, and that he may have been a police officer, which would explain how he was able to get into that location, dressed the way he was in a dark suit, carrying a weapon, and then taking that very sensitive position, standing behind the ambassador as he gave his remarks.
Yeah, this is most incredible when the news broke yesterday. We've got John Guandolo coming up in just a little bit, Scott, and he's going to go into more detail about that. Also, as well, that incident that happened in Berlin, Jennifer Breeden as well, a little bit later on this hour, we're going to be addressing both of those topics. Guandolo, of course, a counterterrorism expert who created and implemented the FBI's first counterterrorism training education program and a former FBI agent. So we're looking forward to his perspective on this. And, of course, again, we're all reminded that we need to keep our head on a swivel here. In this particular situation with this Russian ambassador, I mean, what do you do? Somebody who is a police officer goes rogue like this. He was just, there was nothing to do. And you just feel for this ambassador's family and what that will do in terms of relationships with Turkey and with Russia and the whole Middle East. I mean, it is just off the skids here, with things, going on like this. And sadly, I believe it's a portend of more to come. These kind of news reports keep coming our way. And then we say, okay, well, what happens here? Whether or not it's just a cold blood shooting like that in the name of jihad, or it's a terror truck, running down a heavily frequented street where there's lots of people, because they're finding out that as one analyst said, it's cheaper for them, and it's a lot easier. They can stay under, the radar a little bit easier, these terrorists, because they're not having to deal with weaponry. They're getting something that's legal. It's easy to access. Go out there and rent a car and rent a truck and go do some damage in the name of their Allah. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Good to have you with us. Let us know your thoughts. Get involved in the conversation at B Martinez Live. It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Hope you're enjoying a safe and joyful holiday, okay, because 'tis the season to do that. Merry Christmas to you. John Guandolo, as I mentioned, is with us, counterterrorism expert who created and implemented the FBI's first counterterrorism training education program, a former FBI agent as well. John, always good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thanks, as always, for having me.
Well, John, you know, the whole dynamics of terrorism is it is ever-changing. It is the nature of this type of unruliness and lawlessness that's taken place. Jihadis are realizing that, there are different things available, whether it's a truck, and of course what we had in, happened with the Russian ambassador. You got somebody that's infiltrated, not somebody that came outside of the country as a refugee. This is somebody there and a police officer. And at point-blank range and in cold blood shoots down the ambassador of Russia.
Yeah, we've got a number of things. We also had Sunday evening in Jordan at the Karak Crusader Castle. Four jihadis killed, I think, nine people and wounded a number of others before being killed by Jordanian security services. You've got Europe on a higher alert, not just because of the Berlin attack, but because ISIS has made it clear that they are going to do attacks in Europe and the United States over Christmas. And I just published two articles back-to-back yesterday and today discussing the fact that we have numerous civilian and law enforcement sources in the United States have provided information to me, to UTT, about churches being surveilled and targeted by Muslims, and Muslims getting caught during services in the back of churches filming, and the results of that, and several are under investigation. So these things are happening, but what are we hearing from our leadership is this has nothing to do with Islam, so we can't even look at that. So we need to find the answer somewhere else. So the answer doesn't lie anywhere else. And so 15 years after 9/11, we are still no closer to the answer, which is the intentional outcome of our enemy. And our leaders are intentionally not doing their jobs.
Exactly.
And putting Americans at risk.
Well, John, I'm sure the people who are associated with these places of worship and these churches that have been surveilled would want to know. They're saying, okay, why is information being repressed, and why are we not knowing that we've got people looking at our facility?
Well, you've got a couple things going on. One, there seems to be a large number of Christian pastors and Jewish rabbis who also take the stance, whatever they believe, personally, that they're either not going to speak about Islam, or some of them actually believe the violence has nothing to do with Islam. And a 15-minute cursory review of basic Islamic texts to include first grader, sixth grader, eighth grade textbooks in Islamic schools would reveal that what ISIS and Al-Qaeda say is basic Islamic doctrine, which comes from the Quran and the Sunnah, the example of the Prophet Muhammad. I mean, when people argue this point, say, you know, that's not part of Islam, I'm like, well, does or does Islam not believe that Muhammad is the perfect example of a man, because it says it in the Quran more than once, and no Muslim or no non-Muslim would deny that that's what Islam believes. Well, Muhammad tortured people. Muhammad killed people. Muhammad married a six-year-old and consummated the relationship when she was nine. Muhammad allowed for the killing of people who mocked him and mocked Islam. So what exactly are we talking about?
Exactly.
When we say this has nothing to do with Islam?
Well, we're deluding ourselves all in the name of political correctness and leaving ourselves vulnerable time and time again. And this is why, you know, with this show particularly, we're in pursuit of the truth no matter where it leads. And, John, we appreciate you coming on and, you know, and laying it out for us, because we need to understand as citizens here, our heads on a swivel anyway, not to be overly, overly paranoid, but we need to exercise some wisdom here. And if we know that a particular area has been targeted, and you got to know right off the bat in terms of, you know, mitigating risk, if you're with a bunch of people and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I would think right now with the jihadi order being out there, is that you're going to, you know, the threat level has increased naturally just by the mass of people that you're around. Isn't that right?
That's right. And there are so many areas. You can't protect every area. So citizens, you know, one of the things, one of the recommendations is certainly UTT helps facilitate training. Church security teams are helping a church establish a security team. And one of the things we made as a command decision yesterday based on all the information we were getting is we've actually significantly reduce the fees that we will normally charge to travel and do a training program for churches, and are now significantly reduce that because we want churches who may not be able to pay the normal fee to be able to say, hey, will you come do this at that significantly reduced rate, because we need help. And we're doing that. We're working with others, other organizations and individuals I know, professionally and personally, and then I've worked with in and out of the military and the FBI as a SWAT commander of the Washington FBI team, that I know I can trust to also bring in and help these folks. Because, you know, just the idea, here's something, just in the Dallas Archdiocese is considering making it, you know, putting out the edict that they don't want people carrying weapons into Catholic churches in Dallas. Now, that has not happened, so I don't want to put an accusation out before it happens, but that's already been in the public realm. Mm-hmm. And that what you're telling the jihadis is come to our churches.
Sure.
What I encourage is, you know, put a sign out in front of your church that said, hey, the disciples of Jesus had weapons and he was okay with it, so are we.
Right.
So enter at your own risk if you're going to come in here to do harm to the flock. And that's,
well,
you know,
John, it's no different. I'm sorry to cut you off here, but it's no different than some of these movie theaters, you know, saying this is a gun-free zone. I'm in Florida here, and there was a manager, a local manager I confronted. I said, do you realize what you just did by putting that, well, it's corporate policy. I go, well, you need to tell corporate policy that they're going to be liable here, because you have put everybody under a vulnerable situation by this stupid corporate policy. You know, in telling everybody,
right,
you know, hey, look at all jihadis or anybody with any kind of evil thought to do any harm. Hey, you might as well come here, because it's going to be like shooting fish in a barrel.
That's right. Yeah, I think our leaders have really lost the bubble on what we need to be doing. And we've lost that warrior mentality. And we need to, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a Christian and being strong and being bold. That's what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And defending your life and the lives of people around you, innocent lives, is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a righteous thing.
Exactly.
And I just feel like somehow we've been so watered down that we're afraid to actually speak truth and say, no, I'm carrying a weapon.
Exactly. Well, he's a counterterrorism expert. John Gondolo is with us. We've got more from John on the other side of the break.
Tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag, and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. Fortressclothing.com.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Sale of a Lifetime, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.saleofalifetime.com/free book. Again, that's saleofalifetime.com/free book.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, and if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-441-9833. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-9833. Again, that's 1-800-441-9833.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We sing the last song as we go along, walking in the winter wonderland.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Infidelity is passing around.
Oh, it's music for the season, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Hey, by the way, Hillsong United, their movie, Blu-ray disc and DVD is just being released today, Let Hope Rise. It is the movie, and we're giving it away absolutely free. All you got to do is drop me an email, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Say, hey, Martinez, put me in the hopper. I want a shot at it, and hey, look, we'll get that movie out to you right away. So Bill at BillMartinezLive.com, your chance to get Hillsong United's new movie, Let Hope Rise, absolutely free. Our conversation with John Guandolo continues. He is a terrorism expert. Former FBI agent with UnderstandingTheThreat.com, co-author of Sharia, The Threat to America, author of the newly released book, Raising a Jihadi Generation. John, to that point, in raising a jihadi generation, this is, if the truth be known, this has been going on for decades. And I was talking with someone else about this. I saw this very stark and shocking video of 4 and 5 year olds, you know, it's kind of like a graduation, you know, ceremony, deal that they were doing, kind of the end of their cycle type celebration. And they go into this jihadi, you know, they're wearing outfits. They pretend like they have guns and they're killing Jews and Christians and all this stuff. And the people that are, representing this school, this madrasa, says, oh, they're, it's all about peace. And we wonder why we're raising generations of jihadis, and why there's such a huge disconnect between the Middle East and the West.
Well, I think the disconnect is between reality and fantasy. That's where the disconnect comes. I think people who are still spouting, including senior religious officials, again, and what seems to be all denominations, that Islam doesn't stand for this, for somebody driving a truck through a crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
A Christmas market. Let's realize the setting here and what, you know, Muslims have done historically. They love nothing better to take those iconic events in cultures that they've targeted and to make them less than and put their mark over it, right?
Yeah, that's right. And we just have to ask a couple questions. Number one, in the 1400 years of Islamic history, when it was not aggressive and violent, why wasn't it? And your question gets answered once you understand what Sharia, Islamic law, requires, is when you're in the Islamic community and you have the ability and the power to do so, you must wage jihad. Mm-hmm. And those times in history when they did not were times when the non-Muslim world had their boot on the neck of the Islamic world. And this has always been hostile to the West. And it's only in the last, really, 80 to 100 years that the West has been ignorant. I mean, our founders, the first war our founders fought after the revolution was against the
Barbary
states.
Yeah.
And the understanding of the threat that that Islam poses when it is allowed to maneuver and grow.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing new. So I think we have to disconnect from not only historical reality, but basic Islamic principles. Again, all you got to do is read a junior high school textbook where they teach Muslim children Islam when you are not around. And when you understand that Islamic doctrine makes it a capital crime for a Muslim to teach another Muslim something that's not true about Islam, well, then you know that when they're teaching each other, that's the material you need to read. If you're still listening to the imam as a pastor or as a citizen tell you what Islam is, or your friend who's a Muslim, well, then there's a high probability that they're going to be telling you things that aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you just read the books that they use when they teach one another, whether it's a junior high school book or a book of the highest authority in Islam, of Islamic jurisprudence,
mm-hmm.
they say the same thing.
Exactly.
The purpose of Islam is to wage jihad until the entire world is under Islamic law, period.
Exactly.
There's no version of Islam that doesn't say that. And by the way, for your listeners who aren't buying that, UTT has a standing offer that if you can demonstrate what I just said is not true, we will not only remove it from all of our presentations, we'll give the person who demonstrates it $1,000 cash.
Yeah.
Now, I've made this offer to Muslim Brotherhood leaders in the United States when they start challenging me, imams. Nobody has taken us up on this. You want to know why? Because we're right.
Exactly.
And UTT is right, and we've got it nailed down. That's the problem.
Well, to your point here, John, the scary part is we have Muslim churches all over this country. I mean, thousands. I mean, they are sprouting up almost on a daily basis here. And these mosques that we think are churches, they're indoctrinational facilities, aren't they, more than churches?
That's right. From the Islamic perspective, and again, all you got to do, I gave the example of Muhammad, but let me take it another step. When we understand that what I just said about the purpose of Islam according to Islam, Islam divides the whole world into those two parts, the House of Islam, the Dar al-Islam, and the Dar al-Harb, the House of War. The stated purpose of Islam is to, and first of all, that means anywhere where Sharia is not the law of the land, they consider the House of War,
mm-hmm.
not the House of, we're annoyed with you, the House of War.
Exactly.
And the purpose of Islam is to eliminate the House of War until the entire world is under the Dar al-Islam and under Sharia. That's the whole purpose of Islam. Islam is a totalitarian system governed by Sharia. So it's a governmental system. It's a social, cultural, political, military, religious, legal system, all under Sharia. And the mosque is the center of the community, which means the mosque, if you go to that article I wrote, I have a link to Islam-USA website mm-hmm. where it specifically says what Muslims teach, that it is much more than just a religious setting. It is the center of government. It is the place where war planning takes. It's a war room. That's what it is. So that's how they see it. It's the center of their society. It's where law is adjudicated in the mosque.
Well, John, what about these so-called moderate Muslims that say they just want peace? Is this all part of the taqiyya process, you know, the ends justifying the means, and that they, you know, taqiyya meaning that they can lie in order to justify the ends or justify the means to the end?
I want to be very clear here. There are people who self-identify as Muslim. They say, I'm a Muslim and I don't believe in jihad or Sharia. They may be speaking the truth. But that doesn't change what Islam is and what Islam teaches. And this is a key point. Individuals who don't subscribe to a doctrine doesn't change the doctrine. So there may be people, I've met people, I had people work for me when I was in the FBI who went overseas and did very dangerous things for me. And they identified themselves as Muslim. They came from Muslim families. They, you know, had girlfriends and the men, and they drank and smoked, but, you know, my job as an FBI agent wasn't to be the Sharia police.
Right.
So, yes, that's a part of it. When you're talking to a leader of the Muslim community, an imam, a president of the Islamic Society of North America, Islamic Circle of North America, Muslim Student Association, Muslim American Society, Council on American Islamic Relations, those are all enemies of the United States because we know, as a matter of fact, and evidence in the largest terrorism trials in American history that those are organizations that are Muslim Brotherhood Hamas organizations, Hamas being a terrorist group. So when we're talking about leaders in the U.S. Islamic community, you are talking about people that if they're portraying themselves as moderate, they are lying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're not going to, because they're going to hold a Sharia. And this is why you hear from time to time, even from these young people that are rising up within this country, who say that Sharia is here and it's a matter of time before it takes over everything. I mean, their arrogance and boldness is quite stark, but it's very honest, isn't it?
Yes, it is. They're very honest when you just... And I've had some conversations with some Muslim Brotherhood leaders over the years. And when you get them one-on-one, they're very honest with you about what they want. But when you're in a crowd, they're going to, you know, say stuff to you and try to knock you off your horse. It's a pretty interesting dynamic.
Well, one of our presidents, Thomas Jefferson, understood that, and that's why he sent in the Marines to deal with the Barbary Pirates, didn't he? John Guandolo, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, John.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee.
If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight.
Bill Martinez live.
The lights on my tree, I wish you could see. I wish it every day. To see you and to say that I wish you Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, I get carried away with a little bit of the mood music here. You know, my favorite time of year and time to enjoy the great holiday music. You know, we get music from Karen Carpenter and, of course, the crooner himself. Oh, my goodness. It's just such great music. I love this time of year. Jennifer Breeden is with us right now, lest I digress too far. Legal analyst, human rights attorney, concentrating on religious extremist ideology, domestic and international law with the Clarion Project. Jennifer, Merry Christmas to you. Nice that it seems that we can say Merry Christmas a little bit freely this time, you know. Wow. Maybe the war on Christmas has kind of run its course. I could only hope.
I would certainly hope so as well, Bill. And Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners as well.
Well, let's talk about the latest on the Berlin attack. Uncharacteristic of past attacks, Germany was quicker to come out and say this was a terrorist attack. We know that 12 people died last night, and they were the target of this terrorist attack at the Berlin Christmas market. What else do you have to add?
Yes, and I think, you know, you said that right, that this is the first time that, you know, Merkel has come out pretty quickly. But I think that's also because the opposition parties, you know, this is an election year coming up, and the opposition parties are saying, look, this is a horrible decision. The entire world, it's an embarrassment, really, because we've had so many terrorist attacks here. And yet, again, here's another one. And Merkel has destabilized this country based on her policies. And so I think she's trying to reel that in and gain support back, because a lot of the opposition parties have come out. But, you know, we know that 48 were wounded. 18 are still in critical condition. We certainly pray for them as well. We're always getting updates, but we now know that the driver, a Polish driver of the truck that ended up ramming in, this is a semi-truck. This wasn't like even the truck in Nice. Mm-hmm. This was a huge truck that was hauling steel. He was not only shot, he was also stabbed, according to German authorities, and sitting there in the truck. And so I think, you know, this is a planned attack. This is something that whoever this person was, clearly adhering to ISIS ideology, planned this attack, knew this was a steel truck, and said this is going to be the best truck to ram into this parade to really target Christmas and a Christian, you know, festival and tradition, exactly. You know, furthering that genocidal ideology.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what you touched on here, Jennifer, is the things that I'd heard early, that this truck was hijacked, that it wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. that there was somebody else in the cab that took over the cab and started running it into people. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes, it was hijacked. The driver was shot. He was shot and stabbed. He was killed. And in fact, the GPS unit on the truck actually mm-hmm. shows that after the driver lost contact, the truck would go backwards and forwards, almost as if somebody was learning how to drive it and was trying to figure out how to drive it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and first of all, you know, we look at, here it is. They target a traditional Christmas event, and nothing better than what the jihadis would like to do, because that is consistent with the edict that went out, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Not just the edict that went out, but it's the continuing and the furtherance of the genocidal ideology, a term that was coined in the wake of Nazi Germany, and the word eliminationism, which is to completely destroy and disseminate an entire religious group, and that is Christianity, Christians. I mean, there's genocide against them by the exact same ideology in Iraq and Syria, and there's really a targeting of Christians all over the world where there's an Islamist extremist population. And so getting a Christmas parade, a Christmas festival, would just really fall within that genocidal ideology, and shows the complete failure of the free world and the Western world to really prevent and protect the victims of that genocide.
And I'm glad you said that, because this is what more and more people are coming to conclude, is that this is a failure and a repeat of what happened, you know, pre and early World War II, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And that's one thing that, you know, I've been saying for so long now, and so many other legal scholars, I think, are finally starting to come on board, which is that, you know, genocide, unlike terrorism, of which there's no universal definition, and many people just use the word terrorist, which, of course, we still use, but genocide specifically not only connotes a legal obligation upon nations and governments, it also relinquishes the sovereignty of, say, Iraq or these other places where when you recognize that there's a genocide going on, you have a legal obligation internationally to prevent and protect
exactly.
the victims of that genocide.
Why aren't they stepping up, Jennifer?
I think it comes down to that sovereignty issue. So we talk a lot about the United Nations and things like that, and sovereignty is important. But what nations forget, and it's, you know, just play nice with these other nations. We don't want to go in. We're doing coalition forces and strikes. We're working with the Iraqi government, and that's great. But the law says, and this is the United Nations law, mm-hmm. was actually another law was passed in 2005. And it says that if states are failing, if there's a failure to prevent and protect a genocidal ideology, then member nations alone, that your sovereignty is stripped. Member nations alone can go in there and prevent and protect. That means United States forces could even go in themselves and take out and snatch or prevent, protect the victims of the genocide using whatever means they can. We're not doing that because we've tried to appease, we've tried to apologize to the world, and we've continued to do this where this foreign policy sort of globalization, and in trying to make nice and play nice, we're not adhering to our legal obligation. In fact, no member state of the United Nations is adhering to a legal obligation to prevent genocide.
Well, you bring up an excellent point here, Jennifer, and that is that the United Nations' lack of leadership on this is really exposed, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And really, it's sad because the United Nations has recognized their failure in past genocides. They actually did that after 10 years after Rwanda, the massacre of 800,000 people, and the United Nations did nothing. They came together in 2005, called a World Summit, and they created a resolution called the Responsibility to Protect. And that was a resolution that was geared to say, listen, we realized we failed in preventing genocide. The whole purpose of genocide was not to say, oh, we're going to prosecute people once there's a genocide. It was to say, we're going to prevent a genocide. That's why it's an international crime. If you have an intent to do a genocide, we have to prevent that. The responsibility to protect came in and said, okay, and now there's a responsibility. So they've recognized their failures. They've tried to address that. They've passed more resolutions, yet states are still failing to follow those. And it's actually a resolution that was passed by the United Nations to allow states, individual nations like the United States, the responsibility and the opportunity to say, listen, this is on you now. If a genocide is happening and you can't figure it out within the context of the UN, then you have a responsibility to go in and help those people.
Well, wasn't this what President Bush, you know, did, George W., he put pressure on the United Nations and really challenged them and almost put them, you know, to the point of irrelevance because they weren't standing up. You know, then it was, you know, against Saddam Hussein and what he was doing.
He did, absolutely.
But this was all part of it, part and parcel. And they've come to it to a degree. But if they're going to be of any consequence, then, you know, they need to know how to respond. You know, and it's like that old saying, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you. So they need to step up, don't they?
Absolutely, they do.
Well, Jennifer, as always, you know, we appreciate your perspective. You know, we pray for these families, you know, that have been under attack. It's the season, you know, it is a target-rich area, dare I say, for jihadis to target those of us who are celebrating Christmas. They would love nothing better. This seems to be part of their targeting and part of their process. Anything they can do to destroy the iconic memories and figures of the West, that is a big feather in their cap, and we need to keep a watchful eye, don't we?
Absolutely. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters and Christians all over the world who are being targeted for their faith.
Jennifer Brayton, legal analyst, human rights attorney for the Clarion Project. Jennifer, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you. It is 18 before the top of the hour right now.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396. 1396.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like it, fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 3 hours, 9 to noon, 6 to 9 Pacific on these 280-plus affiliates and markets that we share Bill Martinez live with. Thank you so much. And, of course, around the world via shortwave. Thank you for joining the ride here as we remain committed to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. W. James Annell III is with us. It's always good to have him. He is a Washington Examiner's politics editor, previously managing editor of the Daily Caller, associate editor of the American Spectator, and senior writer for the American Conservative. James, it's always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Good, thanks. Good to be here.
Well, you wrote yesterday, leading up to the vote of the Electoral College, that the opponents definitely set their sights, but they fell rather flat, didn't they?
Absolutely, and it's really the way a lot of these sort of semi-organized anti-Trump plans have gone. You know, we saw this in the primaries, and we saw it at the convention, and now we've seen it in the Electoral College. There's all this big talk about how they're going to get everybody to, first the delegates and then the electors, to change their votes, and we're going to stop Trump, and we're going to protest in the streets until everybody listens to us, and then nothing really happens. It just fizzles. Actually, there were more defectors from Hillary Clinton than there were from Donald Trump, which I guess kind of makes it a good repetition of the election itself.
Yeah, it kind of punctuates the silliness of it all, because here we are. We've got a country to get back on track, and we need all hands on deck. I mean, you've had your moments of shock and however way you want to deal with it, but look, it's time to be about the business of we the people, isn't it?
That's right, and it also shows just a fundamental misunderstanding of the system, which is a big reason Democrats lost the election. I mean, they were trying to run up the popular vote in these safely Democratic states, but that doesn't really give you any advantage in terms of winning the election under the Constitution. Mm-hmm. In our system is the Electoral College, and Hillary kind of neglected a number of the states that really had the electoral votes that she needed to beat Donald Trump, and instead Trump paid attention to those states and he won. So, you know, this, it's a combination of liberal entitlement, mass civic ignorance about how our government actually works, and just this refusal to accept Trump as the president, even though he clearly won under the rules of the game that are in place.
Exactly. Well, Jim, you know, a lot of things come into play here, you know, in terms of, you know, the peaceful transition of our government, you know, the veracity, the foundational issues, you know, whether it was Bernie Sanders or Trump himself questioning the veracity of the process, the rigging. Certainly, we heard from Veritas with the videos, WikiLeaks, that would suggest that, you know, our process was being threatened. I mean, even to the point that we still haven't heard, I think, solidly saying that the Russians were involved, they tried to tamper, or they didn't. You know, that still is in due process, I think. I don't, you know, we hear lots of suggestion, but I'm not hearing a definitive answer. Are you on that? Particularly the Russian?
No, basically, there's been a lot of innuendo. There's been a lot of anonymous sources leaking things. But we've not really seen any clarity as to what the intelligence community actually believes. I mean, it sounds like there is something like a consensus that there was Russian involvement in some of the high-profile Democratic hacking. But what their motives were, to some extent, remains in question. I mean, there are some who think it was explicitly for the benefit of Donald Trump, but a lot of others think it was only incidentally to the benefit of Trump, because they really were messing with the person who they thought was most likely to be the next president of the United States. And like a lot of other people, they assumed that would be Hillary Clinton.
Right. Well, and my understanding and perspective here, Jim, is, much as Putin had his way with the Obama administration, of which Hillary said very clearly would be an extension of that, why would the Russians want anybody but a continuation of what they've been able to take full advantage of?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. I mean, there is some speculation that maybe because Trump wasn't as interested in intervening in Syria as Hillary Clinton was, that maybe that was a motivating factor for them. But I mean, I think it's very up in the air how the Trump administration is going to deal with a lot of these foreign crises. And anybody who's making assumptions based on campaign rhetoric, even in a more conventional candidate, you could be wrong. I think it's very dangerous to make assumptions about Donald Trump.
Well, getting back to the Electoral College, it worked, didn't it?
It did work. I mean, in many respects, this is a textbook example of why the Electoral College is in place. Hillary Clinton's popular vote lead is exclusively from California. You could also argue that it stems from her running up the vote in Los Angeles and New York City. Mm-hmm. So the whole purpose of the Electoral College was to allow other states to have a role in the process. So you can't just have one state with a big population outvote the rest of the country, which is what happened, which is what would have happened in the straight national popular vote. Now, I say that with the caveat that maybe that's not what, you know, the outcome of the election probably would have been different if people were campaigning based on trying to win the popular vote.
Yes.
But you know, that's really one of the major reasons we have the Electoral College. And, you know, it forced these candidates to battle out in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Wisconsin and other places, and Trump won that battle.
Right. Well, California in and of itself is an example, clearly, of a, you know, a one-party state, and, you know, their popular votes dictating the calculus and the trajectory of the politics there in that state, which is, you know, people are moving out of the state, and
right.
You also have a movement within the state that says, look, we've got to level out the playing field, and the best way to do that is to, you know, set up six sub-states or six definitive states within the state of California. It's just so big that it can't possibly represent the constituency properly.
Right, and, you know, I think the situation in California was magnified by the fact that you didn't have a Republican candidate for Senate, you know, because they've switched to this nonpartisan primary process, which allows two Democrats to basically duke it out for the Senate seat in the general election. So that depressed Republican voter turnout in the state. I mean, California, both under a popular vote system and under the Electoral College, you know, would have a lot of influence. But the reason it has lost influence isn't because the system discriminates against big states. It doesn't. I mean, California has more electoral votes than anybody else. It's been the linchpin for the Republicans' electoral majorities of the 80s and the Democrats' electoral majorities since then. The reason it gets ignored is because it's no longer a competitive state.
Mm-hmm.
Non-competitive states do really get the short shrift in the campaign process under our current system because your electoral votes aren't really in play.
Well, should the electoral votes be determined by the representation? Because if a state becomes so one-sided, like in the case of California, it almost, by definition, becomes an outlier, doesn't it? I mean, they have a place.
Yeah, that's definitely right.
Yeah.
Now, states could decide they want to do what Maine and Nebraska do, which is allocate some of their electoral votes based on congressional district results.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always deviate from the statewide result, but it did this year in Maine,
mm-hmm.
and it did in 2008 in Nebraska. So that's one way some of these bigger states, like California, could get more attention. They could, you know, because there would be some districts in play for a Republican candidate under that scenario. And then obviously there are some that are trying to get their states to give the electoral votes to the national popular vote winner. But I have a feeling that if you're New York, and Donald Trump wins the popular vote in 2020 and loses New York by 30 points, a lot of New York Democrats who think that's a good idea right now aren't going to think it's a good idea then.
Exactly. It always comes back to bite them. You know, this has been a tried and true, a tested and proven formula time and again. Do you foresee any changes in the Electoral College?
There really isn't any option for the Democrats right now to abolish it or change it significantly because they don't have the votes in the state legislature. They've really taken a beating in the down ballot races. They don't control very many state legislative chambers, and you need 3/4 of the state to ratify a constitutional amendment. So the only thing they could do is push this national popular vote initiative where the states themselves would decide they want to win, they want to award the electoral votes to the national popular vote winner. You know, that is something they could do under the current system without a constitutional amendment, but they're a ways off from even being able to do that.
Well, as expected, after all was said and done, with not a whole lot of fanfare, the 45th president of the United States of America will be and is Donald J. Trump, and he will be sworn into office on January the 20th, 2017. So onward and forward we move. Right, Jim?
That's right.
Get this country back on track. James Antle III has been our guest, of course, with the Washington Examiner. Jim, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks,
it's a couple of minutes.
Merry Christmas.
You got it, buddy. A couple of minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
If you or someone